Service safe.
Professor Buzzkill. Mini-Nerds.
It's that time of year, Buzzkillers, when we ring out the old and ring in the new. This is the end of another year of busting myths and taking names, and we couldn't be more pleased with the way the old show has developed, and we couldn't be more stoked about the new things we've got planned for next year. The topic of Auld Lang Syne, therefore, is perfect for this episode, because that grand old Scottish song reminds us that when we forget old friends and old times, as we're all wont to do every now and then, we should take time to pause and remember them. Let's do that in this episode, but let's do it in a special way, by learning a few fascinating things about that old song. I think it'll help us appreciate the Auld Lang Syne sentiment more the next time we belt it out as the stroke of midnight on New Year's Eve rings in New Year's Day. Auld Lang Syne means old long since, and it can be more broadly interpreted as long, long ago, days gone by, or simply old times. Therefore, for Auld Lang Syne, as it appears in the first line of the song's chorus, more or less means for the sake of old times. The Auld Lang Syne that we know started with Robert Burns, the famous Scottish poet and lyricist in the 18th century. Burns was and is such a monumental figure in Scottish history and culture that Scots celebrate his life and work on his birthday, the 25th of January, every year. Burns Night is more or less the Scottish national holiday. Now, in addition to trying to make a living as a farmer and laborer as a young man in the second half of the 18th century, Burns collected folk songs and poems from all over Scotland and wrote them down. In many instances, this was the first time that they had ever been transcribed and preserved in written form. In 1788, Burns sent a copy of the song Auld Lang Syne to the Scots Musical Museum. Now, the museum I'm talking about wasn't a physical building. Rather, it was a massive folk song collection being published in a series of volumes by fellow folk music collectors, especially the noted music publisher James Johnson, who had met Burns in the mid-1780s. Burns wrote to Johnson, "The following song is an old song of the olden times, and which has never been in print, nor even in manuscript, until I took it down from an old man." Burns's letter neatly summarizes the type of work that he did, not just on Auld Lang Syne, but on many other songs and poems. Burns collected them from various sources, often from people singing or reciting them to him. He wrote them down, and he often added verses of his own. Some of the words and basic ideas in Auld Lang Syne had appeared in older folk songs or poems dating back to the 1660s. So it's safe to say that Burns' 1788 poem is the collected culmination of lots of earlier versions. Now, I'd like to play you a famous recording of Burns' original poem, Auld Lang Syne, but before I do that, I need to say a few things about the dialect and language used by Burns and many Scots poets. Burns wrote and composed in Scots, which is generally considered a dialect of English. It's common in Scotland, and it's a very ancient origin. And that's certainly what I've told students over the years. That's certainly what I thought over the years. But as so often happens, I learned a lot more about the scholarly opinion on the linguistic status of Scots when I read the work that Buzzkill Institute researchers did for me in preparation for this show. Rather than say definitively that Scots is a dialect of English, it's more accurate to say that the Scots dialect that Burns used sits on a spectrum of the languages and dialects used in Scotland, both historically and in our own day. At one end of the spectrum, broad Scots is considered a language in its own right. On the other end of the Scots spectrum, Scottish Standard English is more or less English with a Scottish accent and a few particular items from Scottish vocabulary. The dialect that Burns used is closer to the Scottish Standard English end of the spectrum and is considered a dialect of English by most scholars. Now, Scots dialect and the Scotch language, which are Germanic in origin, are not to be confused with Scottish Gaelic, which is a member of the Celtic language family and is descended from Old Irish. Confused, Buzzkillers? Well, think about it this way. At any time in Scottish history, and even in Scotland today, there were and are three languages in use: English, Scots, and Scottish Gaelic. No wonder Scotland has produced so many famous mathematicians and scientists over the years. It took massive brain power just to keep the different languages and dialects in your head. I'm going on at this at length, Buzzkillers, Because when you're listening to the following recording, I want you to realize, to remember, that the narrator is speaking English. It's the Scots dialect of English, but it's still the English language. It'll probably be as impenetrable to most of you as it was to me before, that is, Institute researchers helped me understand it. Here's a 1953 recording of Burns' original poem, read by the famous actor Frederick Warlock.
Should our acquaintance be forgot, never brought to mind? Should our acquaintance be forgot, an auld lang syne? For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne, we'll tak a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne. And surely you'll be your pint stoop, and surely I'll be mine, and we'll tak a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne. We twa here run about the braes, and pooh, the gowan's fine, but we've wandered many a weary fetch in auld lang syne. We twa hae paddled in the burn frae morning sun till dine, but she's between us braid a rods in auld lang syne. And there's a hand, my trusty fear, and gie's a hand o' thine, and we'll tak a recht good wally whack for auld lang syne.
And here it is in standard English, or at least in Buzzkill English, as narrated by yours truly. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and auld lang syne? For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne. And surely you'll buy your pint cup, and surely I'll buy mine, and we'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne. We too have run about the slopes and picked the daisies fine, but we've wandered many a weary foot since auld lang syne. We too have paddled in the stream from morning sun till dine, but seas between us broad have roared since auld lang syne. And there's a hand, my trusty friend, and give me a hand of thine, and we'll take a right goodwill draught for auld lang syne. Now, one of the most common misunderstandings about auld lang syne comes from the confusion over the meaning of the first verse. Many people wonder if the song ponders the question of whether we should forget old friends. And I've even heard people say they think the song is telling us to forget old friends and just remember old times. Perhaps the most famous example of this was the way Billy Crystal said it in the popular 90s film When Harry Met Sally. Now, I can't play you the clip from Billy Crystal for copyright reasons, so I'm going to do my best Billy Crystal interpretation. What does this song mean? My whole life, I don't know what this song means. I mean, should old acquaintance be forgot? Does that mean we should forget old acquaintances? Or does it mean if we happen to forget them, we should remember them, which is not possible because we already forgot? This is a misunderstanding of the use of the word should in the opening verse. Should in auld lang syne is used in the conditional sense, meaning if we forget old friends and old times, we should pause and take time to try to remember them, and by implication in the rest of the song, remember them fondly, particularly memories of childhood. And that brings up another fascinating aspect of the singing of auld lang syne that should be better known and, frankly, in my opinion, more widely practiced. The song is, of course, most closely associated with New Year's Eve, and it's very common to sing it at the stroke of midnight. That Harry Met Sally and a thousand other Hollywood movies have it in there. And certainly the lyrics and the sentiment of the song are perfectly fitted for that occasion. But in the Scottish tradition, auld lang syne is sung at the end of any significant gathering of friends, and especially at ceremonies marking major life passages, such as marriages and graduations and things like that. I first encountered this at a wedding reception in Scotland many, many years ago, and the way the song was sung struck me very forcefully. During these types of occasions, auld lang syne takes a more upbeat tone and even a faster pace. This gives it a deeply hopeful feeling to my mind, and it seems to imply that by remembering old friends and old times, times to come will be more joyful. And that brings me to my final point of this episode, Buzzkillers. If you're one of life's unfortunates who doesn't know any Scottish people or doesn't have a Scottish friend, go get one. Scots are almost universally the deepest thinking, but also the most entertaining people you'll ever meet. Robert Burns and his work perfectly encapsulated those national traits. One of the ways to make your life better through Scott's acquaintances is to get invited or invite yourself to a Burns night or a Burns supper celebration. As I said earlier, Robert Burns' birthday is a national holiday in Scotland, held on or near January 25th. And again, in fact, it's the national holiday. And it's also celebrated by the Scots diaspora throughout the world. Burns songs are sung, haggis is served, and indeed praised, that is, haggis is praised, by the reading of a Burns poem dedicated to it. Haggis, if you don't know, is a traditional Scottish dish composed of a sheep's heart, liver, and lungs, minced together with onions, oatmeal, and a bunch of other stuff, and traditionally served in a sheep's stomach. Yes, I know. After consuming that, you will indeed need to pause for Auld Lang Syne. You'll hear a good number of Burns' most famous poems read at a Burns supper, and you'll no doubt participate in the most meaningful rendition of Auld Lang Syne you've ever heard. Speaking of that, we'd like to leave you with Scotland's greatest singer performing Auld Lang Syne. Jean Redpath was a crucial figure in the folk song revival of the 50s and 60s, and certainly had one of the purest voices I've ever heard. We'd like to thank the good Buzzkillers at Rounder Records for permission to use this recording, and we've put their CD of her Songs of Robert Burns on the Buzzkill bookshelf for you. And if you've had the misfortune never to have heard Jean Redpath before, you can thank me for thinking of putting it in this episode. But you should also give extra thanks to the Scots. You've got to admire a country, a culture, and a people who, when it came to choosing their national hero, the person they've devoted a national day and celebration to, they didn't choose a famous warrior or politician. Instead, they chose a poet. Scots wha hae indeed, Buzzkillers. Talk to you next year.
Should auld acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should auld acquaintance be forgot and auld lang syne? For auld lang syne, my jo, for auld lang syne, we'll take a cup o' kindness yet, for auld lang syne, and surely he'll be your pint stoup, and surely I'll be mine, and we'll take a cup o' kindness yet, for auld lang syne. We twa hae run aboot the braes, and pu'd the gowans fine, but we've wandered mony a weary fet sen' auld lang syne. For auld lang syne, my jo, for auld lang syne, we'll take a cup o' kindness yet, for auld lang syne. We twa hae paddled i' the burn, fae morning sun till dine, but seas atween us braid hae roared sin auld lang syne. And there's on my trusty fear, and geese a hand o' kindness yet, for old lang syne.
Capacast.